This is our last interview of the evening. We're rounding out an 8-hour marathon session.
Prattling,
tell me about it. Prattle away. We've got two of my favorite people in the entire goddamn galaxy. Brian Newroche, artist and curator extraordinaire. And Chris Duncan, artist and international playboy.
Totally.
Why don't you guys give your name and what you do, etc., etc.?
My name is Chris Duncan, and I'm a painter and, I guess, installation artist, and I also co-publish a zine called Hot and Cold with Griffin McBartland.
My name is Brian Newroche. I am an artist, curator, and collector of sorts.
A collector?
Yeah, I collect a lot of things. Various piles.
Piles.
Organized neatly. What do you got going on there, Zachary?
Minor technical difficulties, as per usual, pirate radio. But we're all free and clear now. Yes. So, question one, Chris Duncan.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
This is the heat. Give me the pitch.
All right.
You just got back from New York.
I did.
Are you going to move there?
I would love to.
Are you going to?
I can't.
Why?
I have my daughters here. I couldn't leave her.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't be away.
Yeah.
She's already really tiny. She's wicked small, actually. I think I'm Bay Area for a little while longer. But it was pulling me. It was pulling me hard, for sure. It's a beautiful place. A lot of good energy.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard good energy in New York in the same
sense. I had good times. I just interacted with a lot of really serious intellectual types that, and like, saw a lot of good art, and ate a lot of good food, beat the rain, it's cool.
I heard they like art there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ryan, what about yourself? What you got going on?
I've been spending a lot of time at home and working on paintings and various collages, recently taking over some of the responsibilities of a few folks at Adobe Books. Working with Evan Rehill, Dan Johnson, and Maggie Otero doing Adobe Books, which is very exciting.
Okay. What do you have planned for Adobe Books? I know Eleanor Harwood was in there. Mm-hmm. She curated quite a lot for it, and she opened up her own gallery, and now you guys are coming in as a team.
We're coming in as kind of the lighten the load up and the responsibilities, kind of as a kind of a curatorial team. I think it's just going to be really exciting to work with a group of people that have the history there. Dan Johnson's been doing the music there for a few years. And we have, our next show is called Where We Have Been. It's a long one. Where We Have Been, Where We Are Now, and Where We Are Going. And it's kind of a survey of artists from the past to the present to where we're going to be going with who we're going to show. Amanda Eicher started the program in 2001, and it'll be exciting to kind of carry on that history of kind of the Mission neighborhood with the program there.
Awesome. Have you ever shown Chris Duncan?
Mimi Bar.
And tell us a little bit about Mimi Bar. I actually went to Mimi Bar.
Mimi Bar's place. I met Chris. I think the best part about Mimi Bar was kind of bringing together a group of hardworking individuals that wanted to get their art nerd on and kind of not have the restrictions of a traditional gallery setting where sales were priority. And we had a good exchange of ideas and really tried to press boundaries with engaging artwork. Chris Duncan did a pretty amazing piece there, I must say, that then grew a little bit larger in the lobby of Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. With the, what was the title of the show?
Which one?
Yerba Buena?
The Zine Unbound, Cults, Worlds, and Sarcastic Hippies.
Brilliant.
I think we are sarcastic hippies.
I think we are sarcastic.
As I recall, it was a Kyle Ransom quote. Sarcastic hippies.
Kyle was a person we met at Mimi Bar. And these folks are, you know, they're some of my strongest friends right now, and it's really nice to kind of look back at a time and go, that was a good time. Met a lot of good people.
What about currently? What are you working on? I know that you just were part of Clarion Alley.
Mm-hmm.
The Clarion Alley's uh, was was a nice, I got to do a large piece there, and I've always wanted to do a piece on Clarion for some time, and it kind of just fell in my lap. Jet Martinez and Kelly Ording were doing a really amazing piece, and the owner of Community Thrift actually had a roll-down door that had a cycle piece on for years that just kind of got destroyed with a lot of irrelevant tagging, and he just wanted to get it covered real quick, so we kind of came in, and then it corresponded with the Clarion Alley mural party, block party, when they do. So it was kind of good timing.
What about yourself, Chris? Do you ever do outdoor pieces?
Yeah, I have Juice Design when they moved to right around the corner from Adobe and where Mimi was. They started doing a mural project, and I did one with string, actually, and actually lived its life without being cut down by drunks or either. It's pretty rad. No, it was temporary. I think they were doing every 3 months, so a string installation lived out there for 3 months. It was pretty rad.
Yeah, at one point we wanted to try to do a string piece from the window of Mimi Bar across the street to the Kilowatt, but there's too many power lines and such.
And buses.
And buses, I think, would be the thing. And people. But it was initially maybe possibly a good idea, but... Yeah, and there was a woman that was helping us out a lot there. That I said, you know, it's just not going to work. So we'd have to get permission from the city, and she said, you don't ask for permission. You just ask for forgiveness after you do it. Just make it happen, and then just plead. Sorry, didn't realize.
Have you had any dealings with the city, either of you guys? I know that Needles and Pins, another 16th Street mm-hmm. institution, having just moved. They recently had some run-ins with the city that left them pretty wounded. And that kind of conflicts a little bit with, San Francisco seen it as an art city when it's, taking pot shots at its DIY startups, you know? But have you guys had experiences with that?
I have not.
No, I haven't.
Fuck that question.
We're trying to focus on the good times. I don't want to talk about fines. We've already got enough struggles financially. There's already enough to bitch about.
A question that I have, this directly relates to you, Chris, and I don't know, maybe you as well, Brian, but first of all, a lot of people think that once, you make a choice. Like if you're going to be a professional artist, no kids, because the art is your kid. And other people, think that, in order to be a well-rounded person, you got to have all those aspects of your life. What do you think?
My child wasn't a planned event. But it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. I think more than anything, it made me get really serious. It just turned the heat on, and that was it. And I can't put a suit on. I can't say, look, can I take your order? I can't do those things. So the fuck else? I don't know what else I can do. So it's pretty much just can't mess around anymore. And she's... honestly, the most perfect thing in my life. She's incredible. So I wouldn't trade it. And it's weird, and it's hard and difficult, and it's a lot more cerebral, processes rather than, being in the studio and messing around, because there's just not time for that. And so I think throughout my day when I'm walking around or doing, either taking care of her or day-jobbing, thinking about art, what I'll do with the, 3 hours I might have after she goes to bed, kind of thing. But I think it's a pretty great thing if you're, if you could do it. I wouldn't, honestly wouldn't trade it for anything.
Brian,
kids rule. I'm blown away by kids. I wanna move to the woods with my girlfriend and have babies and just and Kathy, there's a shout out to you. I owe her. And our cats. But yeah, it's something, I really look, people talk about age, they talk about growing up, they talk about kids, and everyone gets so goddamn serious, and I look forward to those times, having more time to make art, more time to collect things, collect records, collect art, meet new people, and start a family is something, and then also going back to kids just rule, they do, and I'm working on, if I could ever incorporate, if my audience for my artwork would always just be kids, I'd be a happy, happy person. I think I look more towards that kind of peer association of, having that respect from peers making art more so than institutions or critics or magazines or that higher end, but you know, I'm working on children's books, I'm trying to, I'm doing all these different things, and they just blow me away. I can only imagine having one. It would be insane. It would be insane.
Insane.
And the membrane. Yeah.
On a completely different tangent, because we're going to skip around here.
Okay.
Because we're running the show. How influential do you think music is in your art practice?
Completely. There's moments where it's actually really nice just to space out. Yeah, when the iPod breaks, when the record stops. It's definitely informed my music more than anything. It's informed my whole being, I feel like, and art is just like the guitar I can't play, pretty much. I can't do that part, so if I could, I probably would do that before I would make a painting. But yeah, so I think it's formed me 100%.
Joni
Mitchell Blue, right now, that record's fucking perfect. And Rites of Spring. And Public Enemy. Yeah. Fear the Black Planet.
Just to note for the radio listeners, Joyce has the most awesome Public Enemy. Enemy. Yeah.
Public Enemy.
Yeah. On her sweatshirt right now. I'm fond of the hip hop. I like the jazz and the funk and soul too. But like 81 to 83.
You don't like Joni Mitchell?
I didn't say that. Did you hear me say that?
No, but you kind of had that look on your face.
I think it was a little bit shocked. Sort of, right.
California is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Fucking killer, man.
Anyone think so as well? Do you
paint
people
listen
to music?
Yeah, always. Yeah. There's definitely quiet moments in the studio, but for a while I had my my turntables in the studio, and it was a nice practice of, you know, you're having to flip something over every 15 to 30 minutes, where an iPod or CD players, all technology, kind of go for days without having to think about that next selection. And having records in the studio is a nice situation, because it made you kind of think about, okay, where am I at now? How am I feeling now? Now I'm going to make this change and flip the record over. What record am I going to select? Kind of elements of, yeah, music spent, especially jazz, and like the kind of the mark making and the rhythmic mark making in my work, you know, avant-garde jazz and kind of just the random, you know, the rhythmic random notes that occur kind of go fluid. I think it goes hand in hand. I think it always has.
It's in relation to that, anything that you've been listening to that you would recommend to listeners that make them paint better?
Music to make you paint better. You know, when I'm painting, I like kind of this really ambient, mellow, you know, Sir Richard Bishop guitar. The wooden guitar series is pretty amazing. Henry Flint, I think a few people have kind of got wind of him, and that's some nice guitar fiddling. And then, you know, aside from the studio, I mean, hip-hop's always a fun thing, a fun energy, especially the early hip-hop is just, it has that energy that makes you just, it's happy, it's good times. Bling. I think it was the bling.
Well, that's pretty lame to say.
Yeah.
But I mean, what, that's like 2000?
Well, you know, I think just, I don't know. I'm not a hip-hop expert, you know?
I can basically say that when Midnight Marauders came out, it died. Fucking over, man. Over. But prior to that, late 80s, early 90s, it's pretty incredible. Midnight Marauders was a good record, but it was like, that happened, and then what happened? I don't know. Fuck, it's a bummer.
Considering the fact that we're both on the radio, all three of us are on the radio now, do you guys ever listen to non-pirate radio?
My day job puts me in a truck for a lot of hours, so I hop all over the place.
What's that, the bone?
No, I listen to the Party Station.
92.7 Party Radio.
Shit's epic. It's epic. Yeah, it's totally garbage, but it's fun to drive around to.
You really do listen to that.
Yeah, and I listen to it. For real, I do. And I actually listen to NPR quite a bit. I like to be informed.
So, neighborhood public radio or national public radio?
National.
Okay.
neighborhood.
Yeah.
Also, Calix for sure, and like, what's the other one? KUSF.
Yeah.
All the time. And I think it just ended, but Saturday nights at midnight, there was some dude, I think, I don't even know what station, but it was a super old school hip hop guy who would play amazing, like, Bay Area hip hop from way back to current stuff like that. The Hyphy Movement stuff is pretty incredible to listen to. And I would listen to that one on repeat as well.
Yeah, the college radio stations I enjoy. And then with the power of the internet, you can get online and do all the, you know, various cities. But on the dial here in the Bay Area, it's KSF and, what is it, 90.7. Until a crackhead broke our antenna off in our car to smoke some crack, we could get the 90.7 real good. not only that, and then after that, there was... Yeah, no, I'm not bitter. No, I find that. Then after proceeding the breaking of the antenna, there's like... A whole teeping of our car of audio cassette tape stuff. It was kind of nice.
Have your own cassette tape right
now? No.
Well, that sounds a little personal.
Yeah. I took it as a diss.
What are some of the projects, Chris, that you have coming up?
I'm ready to relax. We're going to put the next issue of Hot and Cold out. Should be out hopefully by the end of the year. Hot and Cold is a zine that myself and Griff McPartland started. We started at number 10, we're carrying on to 1, and with each issue we invite upwards of 20 folks to partake. It's very focused on craft and handmadeness, and it's limited edition and really time consuming but fun. So we're number 3, so we're kind of late. It's coming down to the end. So I'm just doing that, and I have a show with Gregory Lynn in September that I'm working on. So that's all I got. Yeah.
Just studio work and getting the groove on with Adobe. Looking forward to an exciting year. Would like to bring in more, focus on a lot of the local artists, but also bring in artists that... Vancouver, from New York, from Chicago, Denver, wherever, I'd like to kind of have more of a cross-section and kind of network and that web that's been spun, over the years with our community of artists kind of taking those leaps to other communities are doing. They're very like-minded and very, very similar aesthetic. I mean, and working towards making those bridges occur to kind of make our scene grow while we also incorporate with other communities across the country. Internationally, I'm not sure. I don't know if we have the budget to, create and haul everything overseas. But
how often? I mean, this is a fairly pertinent question to all Americans. But how often do you think that? How much of your brain capacity, rather, do you think that you spend thinking about money?
I don't think about. The only time during the day I'm not thinking about money or lack of is when I'm swimming, because I'm pretty much just focusing on breathing. I'm not focusing on money. That's why I swim every day, to get that out of my... It is. It's money. I'm over it. Basically. Chris?
I think about money quite a bit. I have a mouth to feed that's not just mine, so it's pretty much on my mind often. But it goes through the phases. If I'm around good, a lot of good people, it comes and goes. If I'm listening to me, like, or hanging out with my daughter or whatever, it's a weird alone time. Or when there's a stack of bills that I haven't opened in a month, and fuck. But yeah, a lot. But also, it doesn't. I never let it fuck with my flow. I refuse. Life's too short.
Yeah, money comes and goes.
Do you think that art is playing in?
That's deep.
So,
that was deep. No, that was deep. Money comes and goes.
Yeah.
It does.
It most certainly.
It sure does.
Sometimes
it goes faster than it comes.
Do you think, and this is going to sound idealistic,
I am an idealist.
And I'm a smartass.
Do you think that art will actually ever get to a place where it can help people break out of that kind of capitalistic, money-centric idea of what their life is centered around? Such is a pretty big one that we have here.
Wow. Say that again.
Do you think art can beat money think?
Beat money think. Yeah. I would sure that I'll hope so. I would hope so within a community of artists, a community of like-minded people, maybe making some changes, but, you know, the big machine, that's something I couldn't even begin to discuss. The big machine part of it all. I don't know what a painting or putting artwork into place or is going to do for changing that many folks' attitude about money and, you know, going to the Gap.
Yeah, I would just say no. honestly, like, no, they won't. But, fuck, man, what are you going to do otherwise? Like, you could either be part of the sheep flock whole thing or try to do your own thing and try to do that, and you can try until you're, you know, just till it's over. And I think that's pretty admirable. Or stupid, one or the other. But I kind of know the path of the one, which would be the dumb one.
So, all right. Shout out,
Miriam.
Who do you think the best fucking artist in the Bay Area is right now, Brian?
Chris
Nolte. Very
safe.
Chris?
I often look and I'm inspired by, right now, both Matt O'Brien and Kyle Ransom.
Yeah, very much so. I'd like to throw Paul Yurick in the mix.
I'd like to throw Paul Yurick in the mix, too.
Yeah. Throw that guy in there, because he does some amazing work, and there's too many, I think. I mean, I could rattle off the Rolodex of names of people that I'd love to work with, and that could just, I mean, that would take a few hours. But I'm impressed by it. There's also, let's throw in kind of non-Bay Area people, shall we?
Fuck, yeah.
Well, Oliver Halls and Rosenberg from here, but not here now.
Yeah.
Okay, there's one.
Parisian, New York, Indian.
Check out.
He's got a nice beard going now. It's pretty good. Ryan Wallace and Joseph Hart in New York. Shout out to them.
They're listening.
They are listening. I'll send them the link.
I guess I was saying about Kyle and Tudor, because I just really feel like he's challenging things. He's not making anything that's outrightly beautiful or like. It's fucked up shit that's not easy to look at, but it demands some sort of real intellectual thought, and I think that's important. And I think it's lacking here, to be honest. Coming back from New York, yeah. I mean, ask me that in like 2 months, I might be totally hippie out again. But I just got fully fired up when I was in New York, and I just had a lot of really rigorous intense conversations about art, and it was really exciting and inspiring. Yeah, I don't know. It's 2006, man. Yeah. Fuck.
What the hell are we doing?
We're here.
That's it.
Worst year ever.
I think that's about all the time we have, ladies and gents. Thank you both very much. This is 88.9 Neighborhood Public Radio. My name is Zephyr, the show you're listening to for 8 fucking hours. I've been on with two of the best people in the entire fucking world. Actually, all throughout the beginning, in about a year, I'm Yuta Roche, artist and curator, and Chris Duncan, artist and international playboy. Thank you both very much.
I like the playboy part.
Thank you.